experienced a bit of that. Let me pray with us, please. Father, what a great moment to see a father not only baptize his daughter, but be faithful in leading his family to worship, to know you, the living God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Thank you for Abby's profession of faith this morning and her commitment to follow you in the obedience of baptism. Thank you for others who will be coming to do the same today. And I'm thankful, Father, for a church that loves you, a church that hears and receives and responds to and shares the gospel of Jesus Christ where they go. And this morning I pray that you will speak to hearts. I know that many today, many folks are hurting today. The line in the last song we just sang, and should this life bring suffering? Well, to some, Father, we know that that has been the case, even in recent days. So I pray that you'll be near those who are hurting this morning. And all of us, as we continue to walk through these days, we pray that we may do so with courage, with faith, with our eyes on you. We trust you, Father, this morning. Open your word to us, teach us, guide us into all the truth. We ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. We are welcoming you today to Labor Day weekend worship. We're glad that you're with us this morning. And just going to take a moment, a bit of a detour into a passage of Scripture. It's a familiar one, Psalm 127. Psalms 127, very familiar passage of Scripture. Some of you memorized part or all of it, which says, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and go to bed late, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Now, if you have a highlighting application on your iPad or your phone, or you have a yellow highlighter with you, you need to really underscore that last line. He gives his beloved sleep. And then it turns right around and says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. I'm not sure how sleep and having more children work together. But anyway, it's behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Jesus said to his disciples, crowds of people coming and going. So Jesus and his disciples did not even have a place to eat, time to eat. And he said to them, come away by yourselves, and we will go to a lonely place to get some rest, in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Hebrews chapter 4 says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also entered from his works, as God did from his. This is a sermon I probably need to hear more than I need to preach. I'm going to be just honest with you today. I have actually been hearing this message stirring in my heart since late spring. It began with this phrase, and I know it was of the Lord. The phrase was, slow down. Slow down. I kept hearing it. Everything I was doing, every place I went, slow down. Slow down. I will readily confess in the name of transparency that I have not mastered this subject. I haven't. But I will say that I'm working on it. I'm reading, I'm listening to podcasts and messages and talking to people who know a lot more about it than I do. Today we bid farewell to the summer of 2021. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. We're just saying goodbye. And we do it by honoring a day we call Labor Day and taking a day off. No doubt, in the past couple of months, How many of you have taken a vacation? Raise your hand. You've taken a vacation sometime in the past couple of months. Just, all right, a few of you have. All right. No doubt, we take time off from our normal routines of work. The kids got a handful of weeks off school. With that in mind, let me ask you to answer a question with honesty inside yourself. Are you rested now? Took your time off? Went on your vacation? Changed scenery? Drug the boat, drug the camper, drug the kids? Put the pets in the kennel? And you went away to rest. Are you rested? How many of you came back, honestly, how many of you came back from your vacation, be honest, and said, I need a vacation? Because here's the problem. We work harder sometimes at our vacation than we do at our vocation. Vacations have just become another way of working. We are a culture with absolutely, please hear me, I'm talking to me too, with absolutely no clue how to rest, how to stop, how to cease, how to be still. If there's a pause button in you somewhere, you don't know where it is. We are anxious, we are worried about many things, as Jesus said to his friend Martha. Even as Christians, we're more focused as Christians on what we do for Jesus than how we rest in Jesus. And if you don't get the resting part right, you're not going to get the doing part right either. We are doers, not resters. Jesus said, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. This is my favorite invitation in the whole Bible. I can stop right here and just give it and say, okay, I'm done. Come on. Some of you say, please do. Please just stop. Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, tired, worn out, and I will give you rest. What is the, in the text that we read from Psalm 127, what is the sign of being beloved by the Lord? What is the sign of being a person who God loves? He gives his beloved what? Let's get more specific, not rest. What does he give his beloved? Sleep. Some of you are already enjoying being loved by the Lord this morning. You're just feeling that blessing washing all over you today. And that's okay. For some of you, that's the most spiritual thing you can do this morning. Just take a nap. You're grumpy. That's what they told you in kindergarten. So this is what you do. Just keep doing that. So let me talk for a moment about, first of all, just the importance of rest. I don't need to convince you that it's important. It's something that you promise that one day you're going to get. One day, we're going to take a really great vacation for 2 weeks instead of a week, because 2 weeks, surely I'll be able to rest in 2 weeks. One day, I'm going to get done with work and I'm going to retire and I'm going to rest. Retired folk, how's that working out for you? We got a lot of rested retired people this morning. We don't know how to stop. We don't know how to stop. We live our lives without margin. We are wall-to-wall occupied with something all the time. Wall-to-wall. And what's more, this is the sad thing. This is how distorted our culture has made us. We're proud of it. We are proud to talk about how busy we are. You know why? Because, well, that means I'm important. I have to work 80 hours a week. Why? Well, they need me. Everything would fall apart without me. The wheels would come off. It would be terrible. All right? I want to quote Bodie Bauckham here. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Because that's where some of us are. So we just don't know how to stop. Did you know, write this down. It's important. Don't write it down on a piece of paper. Put it on your hand. Go out later and get a tattoo on your forehead. Here's the word. If you work more than 7.6 hours a day, your productivity drops astronomically. You know what our average work day in America is now? Those of you who are still in careers and in jobs, 11 hours. You know what that means? At least 3 hours of that are just totally wasted, unproductive time. You work more than 7.6 hours, you are now wasting time. You are now becoming counterproductive, not more productive. All right? And not to mention not just your productivity, not to mention your health suffers, your family relationships suffer. Let me just restate it again. Put it somewhere where you'll remember it. 7.6 hours is enough. Now, I know I'm not talking to everybody in here is not a boss. You may think you're the boss at home, but if you have to ask somebody if you are, you're not. But you're maybe not the boss. You can't determine how many hours you work, but I'm just telling you. And if your boss is 7.6 hours, they're done. Send them home. You're wasting money. And you're wasting productivity. You know, nobody says, as one person said, nobody said at the end of their life, nobody ever said, I wish I'd spent one more hour at the office. Nobody wishes that. We work more because, well, it means we get more money, we get more advancement on our jobs. We may be in debt, we got to pay debt off. Sometimes we work more because we really think it all depends on us and we're indispensable. And the reality is, you would say, well, I don't think that about myself. I don't think I'm indispensable. And I don't think I have to be working all this much. Listen, ask your spouse or your closest friend if they know somebody who's like that. I know it's not you, but ask them if they know somebody. Okay, we have a problem, folks, in our culture. Thomas A. Kempis said, the proud man and the covetous man never rest. You know what happened? You know why? You know what happens with our work? And guys, more probably notorious for that than girls, ladies. We wrap our identity around what we do. This is not just what we do, this is who we are. And that's why we can't quit. That's why we can't stop. That's why we can't rest. Our culture doesn't know how to celebrate rest. Our vacations are just trading one kind of work for another. And worse than that, you know, we're passing this hurry sickness, as one person called it, onto our children. I wonder how many of our younger kids really think when they go to kindergarten and the teacher says, what is your name, honey? What's your first name? My first name is Hurry. What's your middle name? Up. I wonder how many kids really think that, because they've heard that more than they've heard their name in the past several years. Hurry up. Can't you hurry up? Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Can I ask you a question? Why? Is that 2 minutes that you're trying to extract from your child's life and playtime? Which, by the way, when children are playing, you guys get this, right? When they're playing, that's their work. They're working. Playtime is productive. Kids teach you that. Adults forget that. I'm not just talking about for your kids, I'm talking about for you. You stop playing. There's a command, in fact, several commands in the Bible to rest. There's one big one in Exodus chapter 20 that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Okay, do you forget that sometimes? God rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So not only is rest commended in the Bible, it's also commanded in the Bible. The fourth commandment is actually the longest of the Ten Commandments. It's mentioned more than almost any other commandment in the Bible, more than murder, more than the other ones that we're more familiar with. It ties the two tablets of the commandments together. The first tablet being how we honor and worship the Lord, and the second, how we relate to people. How we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then how we love our neighbor as ourselves. It bridges those two worlds. And partly that means that the fourth commandment is about worship. The purpose of the Sabbath is to rest. Now get this, to stop. To cease, not because, listen, I'm going to say this two or three times. God was not tired. He didn't just create everything and go, wow, that was really hard. I need a day off. That's not what happened. The Lord doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't wear out. He doesn't stop. But you need to. How important is it? He showed us how to do it. Now, this is not a legalistic sermon on telling you how you've got to keep the Sabbath day, get to church on Sunday. No, we're going to go someplace else here. It's interesting to me that this commandment is the first time in the Bible we see the word holy used. This is the first time the word is ever used in the Bible. The holy Sabbath. And not counting the cover. I mean, we won't count that, but. But what we see again, God rested, which tells us something important about this day. He didn't Sabbath again because he was worn out. The word, see, we misunderstand the word Sabbath. The word Sabbath means to cease. It means to pause. It means to stop. How many times do you push that button in your life? How many times do you actually experience a pause? We don't pause because you're tired and you need a day off. Although, you're tired and you need a day off. But that's not why we're doing this. God is not saying, you're cranky, you're tired, you need to go take a nap. That's not what's going on here. We are taught to cease. We are taught to stop. We are taught to pause for one specific reason, and that is so that we might focus on who God is. Listen, I don't care, and the Bible doesn't care, what day you Sabbath on. I don't care if you do it on Tuesday afternoon, doesn't matter. But somewhere you have got to stop, or I'm going to promise you something, your body will stop you. Would you like to see my scar? By the way, I got promoted out of rehab this week. Thank you, Lord. I'm done with rehab. But I, you know, you don't want to learn, you don't want to figure this message out this way. All right? You don't want to do that. We've got to stop. God anchors rest and Sabbath in creation and redemption. On the seventh day of creation, he rested. Wait, what did he do? He stopped and he looked at everything and he said, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. He looked at what he had done. He created everything and then he stopped to appreciate what had been created. What are you supposed to do on the Sabbath day? Stop. And appreciate what God has done and what he has made in your life. So he sets this rhythm in place. 6 days you work. By the way, you're supposed to work. Work's good. Work's good. All right? You're supposed to work. Nothing wrong with productivity. Nothing wrong with profit. 1 day a week, though, we need to stop striving. That's another word that the Sabbath implies. Stop striving. What are you striving against? The thorns in your life. The ground keeps producing thorns. It doesn't matter how carefully you cultivate your staff and hire your staff, you will always end up with a thorn on your staff. There's always that person, no matter how perfect your workplace is, who is a thorn in your flesh. And if you're working the field, you know the thorns are still there. We need to work, but we need 1 day a week when we stop fighting the thorns and the problems and the stresses. We need to work. God honors hard work. He does not honor chronic work. You are not made to do chronic work. Your body is not created to sustain chronic work. So we stop. And when we stop for 1 day out of seven, you know what that says? Now, again, I'm not being legalistic about how much time you need to do. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, 1 day out of seven, you need to stop. You need to find a time in your day to stop. Not for 15 minutes. That's your quiet time. You can do that every day. I mean, a sincere period of time when you step back and you say, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to labor. See, Sabbath is not about trading one kind of work for another. Well, okay, I'll stay home from work today so I can catch up on all the chores at home that I have been putting off because I've had to work at work. That's not the Sabbath. You're not taking a Sabbath. You're not stopping. You're just trading one kind of work for another. Well, I'm going to take a vacation. We're going to drag the boat in the camper. Listen, if you got a boat in the camper, you're working harder than when you stay home. I've watched you. I've watched people at campsites and boat ramps and, you know, people say, did you want a boat? No, look at all the work they have to do. Are you kidding me? I don't want a boat. What do I do with a boat? So in Exodus, when this commandment's given, the Sabbath is tied to creation. There's a whole another sermon here. In Deuteronomy, when it gets re-mentioned, when the Ten Commandments are restated, the Sabbath gets tied not to creation, but to redemption. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, you'll remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day to do what? Now you're stopping to remember what? Your salvation. You're ceasing to prove something else too. You didn't help, you know, he was saying to the Israelites, you didn't help me get you out of Egypt. You didn't help me redeem you in Egypt. And listen, you didn't help God save you when he went to the cross, when Jesus went to the cross for you. You did not help him save you. There's nothing you could do. So the Sabbath says, I'm helpless. I'm stopping. This is not just to prove the world could go on without you, although that's a good thing to know. That helps you get to that point where you can actually finally retire as the general manager of the universe. You can't even manage your kitchen, brother. Come on. Just stop. Just stop. You have to cease. You're showing something important about what God has done to save you. You're preaching the gospel when you stop, if you would. You know, you just cannot. There's so much more. This is what the writer of Hebrews was talking about when he said, you know, there remains now a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There's a rest that is still coming, but that Sabbath rest shows that we did nothing to accomplish our salvation. We did nothing to accomplish our salvation. And finally, I want to get to this, and I've left myself so little time. Learning to rest. Let's talk about it for a moment. Again, one person said, I think it was Lance Wood said, always do what your future self will thank you for. I love that. Always do. Do now what your future self will one day look back and say, boy, I'm glad that guy back there 10 years ago started doing that. What is there that you need to do today that your future self will thank you for down the road? Resting today is investing in tomorrow. Bottom line. Resting today doesn't mean you're lazy. It means you're investing in tomorrow. Now, there ought to be some people in here today who have really sore ribs by the time you get home. And let me tell you something. You probably deserve it. Take the pain. It's a good reminder. You don't have to keep living on a treadmill of work and never resting. Jesus said, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. What does that mean? What does that mean? You know, this is not just, again, a law that we have to keep. The Bible's very clear. The Sabbath is not limited to a particular day. In fact, it said, don't let anybody judge you about the day that you choose the Sabbath. Okay, there's no judgment. Pick the day. Everybody, some people do have to work on Sunday. We're glad you do. Your EMS workers, your hospital workers, your first responders, your restaurant workers, whatever you are. Listen, we're glad you work on Sunday. You know, it's really hard to come in here and preach a sermon on take Sunday off, and then let's all go out to the restaurant after church and have lunch. Somebody had to cook that stuff. Somebody has to be. That's not right. And the Bible's not restricting us to one particular day. It doesn't mean you have to be in church, but it does mean this. Hear me. You are not taking a Sabbath if you don't worship. Somewhere in your Sabbath, you need to learn to worship. Whatever that may, however you do that. Because why? Why are we stopping? Why is there a Sabbath? Why are we ceasing? Why are we pausing? Why are we doing this? Because we need to focus on what God has done, who God is, what He's done for us. That's what will refresh you. That's what will remind you. That's what will get you through the hard days coming up. And again, this is not catch up on all your chores day or catch up on binging Netflix day. This is focus on the Lord. Read a book that will help you know God better. And just a few words to leave you with, and I'm going to stop. We need, number one, we need to prepare. You will not listen. You got to work to prepare not to work. Does that make sense? You have to prepare for Sabbath. You can't just, you're not going to accidentally, listen, our tendency is to keep going until what? Until we hit the wall. Okay? We have to stop. We're not wired to stop. How do you stop? We put it on your calendar. Today I stop. It becomes important when it ends up on your phone and there's a little ding reminder that says tomorrow's Sabbath. You know, and when you see that, that should be a good thing. You should rejoice when you see it. Oh, wow, I get to stop for a moment. Nehemiah enforced the Sabbath law rigorously when the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt and he was leading as governor. He locked the gates on the day before the Sabbath so people couldn't come in with goods to sell on the Sabbath day. What gates do you need to lock? What gates do you need to close in your life? Hey, how about this one? How about don't turn your cell phone on? Oh, let me just absolutely, some of you will lose your minds here. Let me suggest that you take 6 hours out of your day and don't look at your cell phone. Do you know what we're doing right now? We look at our cell phone on average, about every 4 minutes. We have to check it. That's normal people. Some of us are much worse than that. Every 4 minutes, you got to check. The cell phone is a constant interruption in your life. How about turning it off? There's an off button on it. Do you know that? There's an off button. You need to find the off button on your phone and on yourself. Set it aside. Some of you are gone now. You know, oh, I ain't doing that. Well, I know if they like me or not. Stop. You know, your Sabbath. The Sabbath just means let this sediment settle to the bottom. Give yourself time for the junk to settle out of your life. You know why you need to sleep? And this is the blessing, you know, the blessing of the promise of God's word is, you know, he gives his beloved sleep. We don't sleep enough. You know how much you need to sleep? More than you are. Okay? That's how much you need to sleep. You're not sleeping enough. I can see it. Some of you, again, I see it here on Sunday morning. Sincerely, I can see it. And I don't want, I try to talk really quietly so I don't wake you up. Because if this is where you need to come to get sleep, you know, the good thing about this sermon, this is one of those kind of, you know, some sermons when I don't do well, I just feel like, oh man, that was awful. I just wasted their time. It's terrible. But this one, this is a good one because if this is a bad sermon, then you can turn it back on tonight when you're going to bed, put some headphones in and listen to it and it'll put you asleep. So either way, whether this is a good one or a bad one, if it helps you, great. If not, use it tonight to help you go to sleep. People actually do that. So it's not a bad way to go to sleep. But you know why you stay awake sometimes? Not all the time, but you know why you stay awake sometimes? Because you really don't believe the Lord is guarding the city. You believe you have to guard it. I don't know what's going to happen to my child. Well, the Lord, unless the Lord builds the house, guards the city, it doesn't matter what you do anyway, it's all vain. Why don't you let the Lord worry about it? You're worrying way out of your pay grade, folks. You don't get paid that much. You can't do that. Because God gives those that he loves sleep. You know what happens to your brain when you're sleeping? Neurologists tell us. I'm not a neurologist, but you know what they tell us? They tell us that while you sleep, your brain, you know, your brain can't clean itself out. There's the way the blood vessels in your brain are operated, they can't clean themselves out. But there's a chemical that gets released in your brain that actually detoxes your brain. It cleanses your brain. Do you know when that chemical is released? When you're asleep. Do you know why you wake up when you haven't had a good night's sleep? You wake up, oh, my head's so... It is full of junk. Literally. You need a brain detox. Your brain has not detoxed if you haven't slept. And that's why you feel fuzzy, and that's why you feel hungover, and that's why you feel terrible. Sleep! I can't sleep. Well, listen, I'm not beating up people because I've dealt with this. It's hard, but I think sometimes it comes back to the fact that we just haven't learned how to trust that the Lord is guarding the city, and you don't have to. The Lord is guarding the city. Some of you are right now. You ever tried to wrestle a three-year-old during church? You ever had a wrestling match with a three-year-old? You know, nothing about church is wired for three-year-olds. Nothing. I mean, it's just, this is a total foreign territory for three-year-olds. And so they're going to fight you. They're going to wiggle. They're going to squirm. They're going to crawl around. They're going to crawl under the pews and bother the people next to you. There was a father who was trying to wrestle his three-year-old. He's trying to just settle him down. And, you know, for some reason, parents, and we don't care in here, really and truly, I don't care. You don't bother me. But the reality is we know your child's going to wiggle. We understand that. That's okay. And it's going to bother you more than it bothers anybody else. But here's the thing, you know, when you finally, have you had this moment when you finally, you know, you kind of finally you go, okay, we're done trying. So you pick the three-year-old, you put him in your lap, and you just try. Now it's just a matter of you're trying to contain him, and he's trying to escape from you. That's the battle going on. I mean, you're just trying to, just hold on and hold on. You know what sometimes happens? And I've seen it. Eventually, that little guy gives up. And then, you know that moment when they just kind of melt into you? They're just, they're just done. And you know what? This little guy that was a few seconds ago your mortal enemy, who wanted nothing more than to get away from you, and you wanted him away from you too, is now on your chest, sleeping. And you would fight hell for this child. All right? This is what God wants for you. Quit wiggling. Quit striving. Rest in him. Let him fight your battle. Let him be the victor in your war. Let him guard the city. And you just sleep. You just sleep. Let's pray. Father, I know for all the invitation is open. Come to me, you who are weary. You who are burdened down with care, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. There are some who need that rest today, Lord. Some of us just physically, we got to sleep. We just need a nap. We need to sleep. But some of us are troubled in our souls and spirits in ways that a nap will not fix. We need to stop striving. Be still and know that you are God. May we be able to do that today. And would you draw us to you, Lord, those who need to come right now today. Would they come as you draw them by your Spirit, give them courage to make the steps they need to make to give their hearts entirely to you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, church family.